Welcome, everyone, to a strangely pre-recorded edition of the Celtics post-game show tonight. Blog Talk Radio crapped out on us, but the show goes on. I'm Bobby Manning. Justin Poulin is with me here tonight. I'm filling in for Taylor McLeod. And we have quite the game to talk about tonight, Justin. A scary-looking injury, an unexpected blowout win. Celtics win going away against the Knicks tonight, even with Kyrie Irving sitting on the bench for this one with a quad injury, getting some rest for his ailments that continue throughout this year, and he deserved it. Great road trip for him. Celtics split that 2-2, and they add another win to their 37-15 record tonight, 103-73, a 30-point bomb over the Knicks. This episode is presented by RX Bar, the official sponsor for now of CLNS Media, and we'll get into them later on. But Justin, first impressions of this game.
Well, it was great to see Terry Rozier get a triple-double in his first start. He's played so hard, had some really nice playoff performance the last several years, and a lot of energy off the bench. Doesn't always translate. It's pretty interesting to see what the kid can do with the ball in his hands with starting caliber talent beside him. So triple-double, 17 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists, working off Al Horford. Truthfully, pretty much in control. I mean, did his shot selection, did he shoot a high percentage? Not really, but 42%, I'll take it. Really hot to start the game and set the tone. Despite the fact that the Knicks kept climbing back into it, the Celtics really poured it on in the third quarter behind what I would say is probably the second biggest performance from Marcus Morris. And as you mentioned, kind of a scary little injury there. Gets whacked on the head as he's throwing down a dunk. Takes him off enough that he gets sideways, lands on his hip really hard. That's the last thing that this team needs is another injury. He spent a lot of time away from the court because of the knee injury. Now he's got this thing. Hopefully it's minor. Hopefully he can recover. The problem is that I really felt like, despite a sluggish start to the season, Marcus was just finally hitting his stride. And really in this game, it was some of the strongest performance that we had seen. And he helped them build what eventually became a more than a 30-point lead in the third quarter.
And I did think that was a ridiculous moment in this game, Justin. The guy's laying down on the ground, writhing in agony, and Brad Stevens, who knows everything about the game of basketball, as we know, one of the best coaches in the league, didn't know that they couldn't stop play to get Morris off there. The Celtics didn't seem to know themselves, and suddenly the Knicks, who didn't even seem to know themselves, are trying to inbound the ball and run the court when the Celtics are obviously trying to get to this guy. I thought that was ridiculous. I had people going in my mentions tonight saying, oh, ref's got no discretion there. Screw it. The ref's got all the discretion in the world. Just give them the foul on the spot right there. Put it on the floor. Whatever you need to do to play within
the
rules
to
stop it. Yeah.
That was the issue 100%, that Semi Ojeleye recognized, and kudos to him being a rookie. He recognized immediately that he needed a foul to stop the play so they could take care of their boy, you know, and he's draped. I can't remember over which Knicks player, but draped over them, and yet no whistle. And I honestly think this is kind of one of those quirky situations that just took a lot of different factors into play that wound up creating such an awkward moment, meaning I don't think that the officials were looking at Semi Ojeleye. I think they were trying to comprehend what they could and couldn't do. You know that paralysis by analysis saying?
Yeah.
That's what I think happened. I think they knew that ordinarily it would stop play, but they didn't call a foul. And that's where they really screwed up, because he got whacked on the noggin hard. Like, that's definitely a foul. It's reviewable to be a flagrant. They ended up not calling a foul. And, you know, to give them a little bit of credit, even when the ESPN ran the first two replays, they didn't see the foul either. So I see how the foul might have been masked, but it was a foul on the play. I think it's the way he went down so far after the dunk that made them think that there was no foul. So then they're sitting there going, okay, ordinarily when a player goes down at the rim like this, we call a foul, but we didn't see a foul. So what do we do? And I don't think they were prepared for it, so I don't think their eyes were on Ojeleye. I think their eyes were in the back of their heads trying to read their mind and 40 pages of ref official guide from photographic memory to know what to do.
It was absurd. And then the fact that there was a clear pass foul on top of it all, that got me really hot. I don't get hot at the officiating a lot of the times, but just the visual of that scene. I mean, even in football, the most brutal of sports, with all this conversation about what's going to happen with the future of that sport, calls injury timeouts, the league might have to look at that rule after tonight. But anyway, this game, fantastic performance by Terry Rozier, as you said in the opener. And for all my athletes out there, for anyone trying to get some good nutrition into their diet, RX Bar is a good way to improve your performance as well. It's whole food protein bars, which means their bars are made of 100% whole ingredients. And they're transparent and upfront to customers, which is key for these food companies. You never know what's going into your food. The RX Bar company is right up and open about it. Egg whites, dates and nuts, 100% real cocoa. You're getting the best ingredients in this bar that is packed with protein. And they're just calling BS on the protein bar industry. They're on top of it all. And they want you to try this bar today. So for 25% off your first order, visit rxbar.com/CLNS. When you're making your first order, that's rxbar.com/CLNS. Check out them. Go see what their selection can offer you and get yourself some good nutrition in your diet tonight. So Terry Rozier, let's get into it, Justin. There's been a big discussion about him versus Marcus Smart rolling all season. And over the past week, we have gotten a ton of more spice to sprinkle on top of that conversation because Rozier is playing the best basketball of his career. Smart sitting on his sideline. There are sources saying organization isn't happy with Smart. You know, today we heard that the league's not going to step in on it, but the Celtics still have a chance to suspend Smart if they so choose to do so. For me, this whole injury break is probably going to serve as its own little suspension while he's out. But what do you make of that guard dynamic at this point? Has it changed in your eyes over the course of this year?
Just over the last week. As a matter of fact, you know I've been a big Marcus Smart supporter. Somebody who's away from the statistics, the box score. I've always seen him as a closer, but the swipe, which is, I think, minimizing a punch to a glass picture frame of some sorts that caused the laceration. I don't think you get a laceration from a swipe. But even on Celtics Stuff Live, I started to turn. You know, there was a post-game show not so long ago, earlier in the year, and I said I'd never give up a pick with Marcus Smart, you know, for somebody like Tyreek Evans. I just didn't think it made a ton of sense, and defense was their cornerstone. Now I'm thinking, I'm looking at the bench unit, I'm seeing their struggles offensively, and I say, you know, I'm not so sure that this is a player that the Celtics team are going to want to bring back. You just mentioned all those rumors that kind of affirm that they're not really happy with him. I think it's run its course. I don't expect him to come back. But when you look at somebody like Terry Rozier, I mean, the kid is just so hungry for a moment like this. This is a swing that pretty much puts the nail in the coffin, in my opinion. You got somebody like Rozier who's ready to step in, and he plays solid defense, but it's really the rebounding. Whatever Marcus Smart,
man.
Yeah, whatever Marcus Smart gives you defensively, Terry gives you in rebounding, and he's still so athletic. He's a solid defender. Do I think he's quite the defender as Marcus Smart? No. But then when you look at the 10 assists, that's the other surprise. I mean, we knew he was a great rebounder. We saw him get crucial rebounds in the postseason. We knew he could score when he gets hot. That's definitely happened. He's been a little streaky, but at the end of the day, here's a kid. I think he's edged his way for a couple of reasons too. Smart wants the paycheck, and his contract's coming up, and we know what that means. It's going to be a little bit of a struggle. They didn't wind up bringing Kelly Olynyk back. I don't think they're going to bring Marcus Smart back. I'll be honest with you. I think the nail's in the coffin. I think Terry Rozier helped put it in there, not intentionally. I'm sure that those two guys get along fine. But now Keith Smith comes out with a tweet just after the game ends and says, now hearing after the Greg Monroe buyout, the Celtics' dream scenario is to find a workable trade for Tyreek Evans using player or players and a pick, and then to use the disabled player exception to sign Monroe. Can outbid any other playoff team by virtue of having the $8.5 million disabled player exception, which is true. I mean, I'd almost count on Greg Monroe coming. But now that Marcus Smart's in this position And I think everybody, there's half of Celtics Nation already soured on him. I think the other half is pretty down on him right now. When you combine that, you're going to throw in a pick for Tyreke Evans, a little added punch. Look at the way the injuries are stacking up. I think you go for it.
It's crazy how things have changed over the last week, and the Clippers really just seem to throw this whole market into a seller's market with the haul they were able to bring back for Blake Griffin. Now the Clippers are going to be one of those teams with cap space this summer, so there's an additional team that could make a run at Marcus Smart if they wanted to this summer. Of course, I'm sure their eyes are set big on something bigger than Smart, but they're able to make a competitive offer sheet if that ends up being their option this summer. So we're moving towards an environment where the Celtics are going to have to make that decision between Roger and Smart. And when it comes to impact on the team, I know we all have that little recency bias. It seems like just a couple weeks ago, Smart was winning that game against Houston, and we were throwing a big Smart parade on this post-game show. And I'll give Nick Cicento a lot of credit. After that performance by Smart that helped beat Houston, he was still standing hard behind Terry Rozier on this show, saying he was the key to the bench unit this year. And I fully agree with him at this point after seeing the last month or so and taking the whole season for what it is. It's all about projected value when you're signing a guy that next deal. And as great as Smart has been, I just don't know what more he can become beyond what he is right now. We love what he is right now, but would we love what he is right now at $12 million as much as we do on the rookie scale? I don't think so. And if the Celtics are going to give Rozier that deal instead, I still think there's substantial room for growth in Rozier's game. Maybe even sixth man of the year potential, the way with some of these spurts we're seeing. I mean, you look at his rebounding numbers through his first three seasons of his career, as you said. They're up among the best rebounding guards in the sport. He's so positionless in the way he can handle the ball, play off the ball. His shooting has just gotten better by the year. He's in more control than ever. He's kind of taken those Avery Bradley leaps and bounds year by year. And that's exactly what you want if you're going to increase a guy's payroll. Bench scoring is what you're looking for out of bench players in particular. I hate to jump ship on Smart like this when it's the easy thing to do. But you can't help but look at the way the offense has opened up over the last week, the way the bench has improved, and just how well the team is playing as a whole. And Justin, I know you're going to agree with this fully, but how pleasant is it to not see a player just taking those ridiculous 7-8 shots a game where you're like, that's just so unnecessary. And it has completely cleaned up the Celtics offense that was in the lower half of the league going into this game. Or week, rather.
Yeah, it is nice to see the offense coming back alive. I would say Jason Tatum in the last two games has also been a part of that. He's still not 100%. You saw, I mean, he had a nice game the other night. But tonight, he was better, and he's hitting that mid-range. But that three-point shot is just ridiculously off for somebody who was ridiculously on for so long. He's still kind of coming out of that funk. I don't know if it's a rookie wall or if it's an undisclosed minor injury that just threw him off. His aggressiveness is starting to return, very much following a similar pattern as Marcus Morris, who, when he first came back from injury, was kind of eh. And then you come over to Jason Tatum, and you know, he hits the pinky, but I felt like he was still aggressive to the rim for a while, but it just slowly tailed off. That's why I think there might have been some other subsequent injury or maybe a worsening of the pinky for all I know. But then all of a sudden, you know, he's starting to get his groove back a little bit. So that helps too. And I don't know, you know, you look at even Abdel Nader, like you have to start asking the question about just their hustle and the energy of some of these younger guys who are just, you know, lusting for some minutes on the floor and what they do to lift up the team. Because Nader had a pretty good game, and I wrote him off as having a spot on this roster long term. Might still be the case, but you know, this is finally a good performance in a game, and he played minutes in the game that mattered. Mm-hmm. You know, he played minutes that mattered. He wasn't just sitting out there at the end of the game, and so pretty impressive to see him go 3 for 4. We knew he could shoot the three, and he went 2 for 2 from three-point land. And it's pretty impressive to see that finally come through, because he's looked lost on defense, and his shot wasn't going down every other time he got minutes, even in garbage time.
You need defense to win a championship for sure. And the Celtics, by and far away the number one defense in the league, helped by Marcus Smart in the early portions of the season. But the balance just wasn't there. And you look at Smart's numbers. I'm doing an analysis on him right now to see if he is making improvements off years past. And we're just seeing offensive regression in him. As much as he's increased his assist totals, the turnovers are up. I feel like he's had a tough time meshing with Kyrie Irving just visually. You know, I haven't really broken down the stats on those lineups with those two, but it doesn't seem like they're the easiest fit together on the court, especially with Smart unable to shoot off Irving. It just seems like things are piling up against Smart, and I don't know if he's going to get traded by the trade deadline. I tend to say no, but with things moving, opportunities opening up, the Celtics are going to have to push to use that DPE, and we're hearing now that they want to use that on a free agent like Monroe and use players to facilitate a trade for a player like Evans. Things might be working against Smart going forward, and if they can find better balance, maybe the defense isn't number one, but rather number two or number three, and you get the offense up into the top half of the league, that might be worth their while. And I just hate sounding so reactionary to what we've seen over the last week and a half with Smart, but the results matter. And the fact that they have looked this much better with him out of the picture than in the picture says a lot to me.
Yeah, the defense is, you know, just going back to what you were saying, the defense is so huge with this team. And you look at Jaylen Brown, I think he played great defense tonight, and he was aggressive, right? Mm-hmm. And he and Rozier went 6-for-14 from the floor. Jaylen only going 1-for-3 from three-point land, but he was way aggressive. He posterizes Porzingis.
Oh, he was fantastic tonight.
And Draymond Green just said he thought he should have been in the All-Star game, which is a stretch. But the point is Draymond is saying, hey, look, this is a kid who can play defense at a young age because it's not the offensive numbers, even with the athleticism. But Jaylen's been much more coordinated in his attack to the rim as well. I mean, he still gets kind of off balance and finds a way to control the shot, but it's not as wild and crazy and out of control as last year. You know, he seems to have a pretty good idea, and he'll pass out quicker. If he realizes he's getting into trouble, he makes that pass before it gets nuts. Some of those passes aren't great. Some of the times they're good. Mostly they're just improving, that whole process. So I just like to see aggressive Jaylen because I think he should be dominating. Tatum's creating some space for Jaylen that way because I think Jaylen was willing to defer to Tatum while Tatum was trying to establish himself offensively earlier on, but now he's realizing, hey, I've got to play a bigger part.
What do you make of this Greg Monroe rumor? We might as well dive into the trade deadline rumors while they're right in front of us, fresh and hot, before they disappear. I find it very perplexing. There's a lot of bigs on this roster that don't get minutes to begin with between Aaron Baines and Daniel Tice. We talked about that on the last Celtics blog podcast. Could those guys use a little more time? Brad Stevens likes going small in general as a philosophy. Where do you think Monroe would fit in on this roster?
Matchups. It's insurance and matchups. I mean, listen, you can never have – they can spend the money. They want to make it to the finals. They can afford to spend the money. Why wouldn't you add the best player who's going to be in a buyout scenario? You know what I mean? It just makes so much sense for them to build the bench. Will he get minutes? Who knows? Who cares? The point is, if they suffer an injury, because there's a lot of young players on this roster, if they suffer an injury and they wind up getting in trouble because of it, they're going to kind of curse themselves for not making the addition. So I also think, you know, different matchups, different skills. Brad's great at getting the most out of players. Monroe's going to want to resurge for a contract in the offseason. He won't get it from the Celtics, but they'll take advantage of that. He'll get them some good performances. He's not Aaron Baines, and he's not Daniel Tice. I do love what Daniel Tice is doing lately. He's really kind of figured out Brad Stevens and the system, I think, and he's had some block shots and done some really nice things on the floor, but I think they could still use Monroe. I think they could use a little bit more of an efficient low post scorer, really. I mean, that's the one thing that they still kind of lack. Even in Horford, you know, he gets that little bunny hook, but he doesn't really get his back to the basket. Would be nice to be able to do some feeds down there.
It would be interesting, and the only reason I like it, and we've talked a lot about him over the last couple of years as being a possible target, he played very well in Milwaukee for being in a bench role, for being kind of out of touch with today's style. He picked his spots, was able to do a lot with not a lot of minutes. I think that'd be ideal in Steven's system, and it's interesting to hear David Aldridge tonight say that Monroe has interest in the Celtics, not Celtics have interest in Monroe. And with the Cavaliers probably going to be hot on his tail too, that's big. Celtics lost that
battle.
They
got nothing. They got no money for him.
Yeah.
The Celtics are the number one. This is the how it works in the NBA, and you and I both know this well, but it's a young team. They're on the rise. They're not struggling like Cleveland, and they're not old like Cleveland, but they still are the number one seed, and that makes them the odds-on favorite to go to the finals. Even though the LeBron thing, it's they still are the lead dog, and I'm not surprised at all. I almost think Monroe, you know, part of him's got to think there's playing time for me on Cleveland. But he doesn't make nearly as much money. The Boston can blow the Cavs away in terms of money. So when it comes right down to it, you got two teams that are pretty much, and Toronto deserves obviously recognition too, but you've got two teams that have traditionally been fighting to go, you know, over the last 10 years to the finals. I mean, that's really how it is, other than the Miami stage, right? That little session. But where, when I say two teams, I probably should just say LeBron and the Celtics, right? but at the end of the day, it's got two teams to pick from, and one of them can pay him more. He ought to ride that dog.
It's also interesting that the Celtics do have a possibility. There's a certain provision they could use to maybe bring him back. I'm not 100% down on it, so I probably shouldn't speak on it on these airways, but there's something there to that as well if he does want to make significant money over the next few years. We'll see what happens on that front. We'll see how it develops over the next couple of weeks, and you'll get better information, more thought out, more expert analysis on Celtics Stuff Live and the Celtics Blog Podcast over the next week. So we'll leave it there for now. Celtics beat the Knicks by 30, maintain their hold on the one seed in the Eastern Conference, and it's time for Justin and I to get some sleep tonight. Thanks for everyone being here with us on a pre-recorded edition of the Celtics Post Game Show. We're back every night through February, live on Blog Talk Radio, where you can call us at 347-215-7771 as you were unable to tonight. Thanks for being here, Justin, through the late night. And, of course, to our audience, get yourself an RX bar, 20% off, rxbar.com/CLNS. No BS in those bars, just all natural ingredients. So go get one of those. Check it out on their website. And we will see you Friday night, as I'll be here hosting again with Andrew Rubino and Taylor McLeod. Until then, good night, everybody.